Now we take it from the West Coast to the East Coast and bring in boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer Jr. And how are you and the family, sir?
I'm doing well. I was actually a little nervous there with your segue when you said from, I think you're going to say from one sucker to another. you introduced me, but thank you for keeping me in high regard.
Okay. Jermell Charlo is a minus 275 favorite tonight. Do we think that the opponent, Brian Castano, is a live opponent? I mean, he's got a WBO belt. Is that all he brings to the dance, is that belt?
No, I think it's actually one of the few times where people that like to wager have a really good shot at scoring some bread on an upset. Brian Castano is a really good fighter. We're going to find out just exactly how good he is against Jermell Charlo tonight. But I think it's a low-key, under-the-radar, great fight. I mean, I would probably say it's the best matchup we've had maybe since Valdez and
Burchell's.
What's his name? Burchell, yes. I think it's real even. They're the same age. The one big difference that you're going to see is the height that Jermell Charlo will have. But Castano has been short his whole life. He's about 5'6" and a half. He's been undefeated. He fought Irislandi Lara, who still at an advanced age is still a hard out, fought to a draw. I think it's a really, really interesting matchup. I like Charlo only if he gets off to a fast start. You know, he's very strong at the beginning. Castano, if he could weather that first 5-6 rounds, late, I give the edge to Castano down the towards the tail end of the fight, and I could see him pulling off an upset. He's strong, he could punch, and he's got very fast reflexes.
Okay. Raleigh Romero's on the same card. Raleigh Romero is probably one of the most suspect guys I've ever come in contact with in the past couple of years as far as boxing is concerned. I mean, I watched him in the gym. He lit up Ryan Garcia like the White House Christmas tree. Everybody had a little humor at that. We played some audio on that one. And, of course, then he was involved in a couple of title fight in which guy wasn't really worthy of being in a title fight with him. And now he's taking a guy named Anthony Ujit, who came in 5 pounds overweight. You know, what does that sort of tell you about this guy? I mean, they're trying not to know it. And now Raleigh says if he wins, he's going to take on Gervonta Davis. Is Floyd just sacrificing him for Floyd or for Davis or what?
I mean, why not? I mean, I think Floyd is smart enough to realize that Romero is limited. And if he's able to get a title shot against Gervonta Davis, assuming that he gets past Yigit tonight, more power to him. It's going to be a big payday. He'll probably be on the wrong end of a knockout. But it is what it is. Sometimes, you know, a promoter has to be wise enough to see what he has in front of him. And when you can cash him out. You know, I mean, if he gets blasted by Gervonta Davis, he'll rest about a year and then they can recycle and bring him back, you know, because obviously there's no shame losing to Gervonta Davis. So if he's able to get a title shot against Davis, more power to him, awesome.
Okay, so Davis is campaigning at 140 pounds, 135 pounds, or 130 pounds. Can you answer that? Your boxing's PhD. Where is he at right now?
I think he is I think his best weight is obviously 135. I just don't see him being physically big enough to face someone like a Josh Taylor. I think that despite him being explosive, you know, Gervonta Davis is a puncher, and everyone says that he hurts people a lot bigger than him in the gym. But he's not sparring against Josh Taylor or someone like Ramirez. And I still would pick Teofimo Lopez over him. But I think Gervonta Davis is a great fighter. I want to see the matchup. To me, the best matchup in all of boxing is Lopez and Davis. I don't think that'll happen anytime soon. But I think the best way for Davis is 135. I just don't see him being successful at 140.
I guess you don't mess around with Rachel Donaire because Casimiro, the WBO champion at 122. He talks on Smack about the wife of Nonito, the current WBC 118-pound champion, and he said something like she could do this or she could do that. And then when Donaire said he wasn't going to fight him out of the fact he disrespected his wife, I thought it was a joke. But no, it's not going to happen. It looks like Guillermo Rigondeaux is going to tell Casimiro instead.
Yeah, I mean, to me in boxing, there's no room to, you know, for you to have to talk about other people's wives. You know,
But what happens when you when you interject her and she's in the corner? She's the manager and the corner man and the trainer. She's the mouthpiece in the corner. So she's off limits totally because she's a woman.
Fair question. That is true. If you're gonna join the party, you got to be treated like if you were a man. Absolutely. But I mean, unless she is outwardly just being obnoxious and to the point that, like, all right, just know your role as a manager or as a trainer or whatever it is her role is, you know, he told her that she could go down on him, right? Is that what basically says?
Something like that.
Make it as PG as possible.
And I will go with that was out of line. But here's what's up: you just shut up, and you sign the contract, and you know what you tell the dude as you're about to stand there in the middle of the ring, MF, you call my wife, blah blah blah. I'm about to beat you. You know what I'm saying? That's when you take care of that.
Exactly. To me, it would give you more motivation to embarrass and end this guy's career. You know, absolutely. You know, but I guess Daniel's looking at it. You know what? I'm not going to let this guy make the biggest payday in his life against me, which is how he's probably approaching it. You know, not that I think Donaire's a sucker by any means, you know. To me, I don't think there's a place for it. And Rachel probably shouldn't be that involved, but, you know, that's Team Donaire, and obviously they've had success.
You know, she has infuriated people like agents Cameron Duncan, promoters like Bob Arum. Don King said she was difficult to deal with. I think he told me she was difficult. That Filipino broad. That's the way I think.
Did he use that B word?
Yeah, he used that B word. That Filipino broad. I went, huh? Yeah. He goes, she came to me wanting to do something, blah, 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 something like that. You know, but Don, it just rolled off. And that was the only time Don ever met her. But I know that Bob Arum had some, has some tough dealings with her. She's a tough negotiator, and why not? She's negotiating for her husband. More power to her and all that kind of good stuff. But, you know, here's what's up. If you're going to be in the corner and you're going to be part of the team, don't say anything unless you can accept everything coming back at you, even if it's below the belt stuff.
I will agree to that. Yes. If you're going to, like I said, going back, if you're going to get in the mix, be ready to be treated just like anybody else would, you know. Now, I'm not saying that, what's my man's name? Roy Jones's guy, Alton Merkinson, when he slapped the mess out of our boy Stoney. You know, not that he's to that extent. You know, but, if you're going to play with the boys, then you're going to be treated like anyone else, you know. But there is a fine line, though. You got to have some decorum. But, and I understand from the other guy's point of view, he's, you know, we heard Roberto Duran say some nasty stuff about Sugar's ex-wife, and it worked to his advantage, you know. So I'm sure some mind games to it.
And I think about Ricardo Mayorga. Let's go to a break here. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We'll be back with Boxing's PhD after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC. Check out their interactive website at WBCboxing.com.
A lonely man in a busy world, I try to get ahead, but too many times I just yearn for the girl, whoever she may be.
This night, the referee is going to be the most important man in the ring other than the fighters.
Are you in here? Are you in here?
Come on, Roy, you gotta f***ing do it, you gotta do this. And Roy is doing everything, man. Come on.
Norman Stone just called his fighter Roy.
Fight this motherfucker. Fight him. Go and get him. Go on, fight this guy.
Hands up. You think you go to the body, you come up to the head. Come up
come
to
on.
The head.
Fight him.
Come on, Johnny.
Fight him.
He's taking your title away from you.
The referee sucks.
How do you work for?
The ref sucks. Fight him. The referee.
Come on.
Get out there. Fight him.
Come on.
Fight him. The referee sucks.
Come on.
The referee sucks.
The Gen T. See what you're all about now. All right? We're going to see what you're all about.
Come on, come on, come on.
One more round. Fight
on our corner. Get out of our corner. Get out of our corner.
Fight behind
I'm going to fight up your on.
I'm going to fight behind
him. I'll take the f***. He held the whole fight. Johnny, come on and go get him, Johnny. He held the whole fight. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's why you pissed off at Cortez. You said you want to take it a point. Now I know.
You
got to
keep
it on.
Come in the
back. One of the good things that's happening is here we'll never... probably never have to see Norman Stone again.
That'd be good.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Heaven help us.
Fight. Actually, I think that was the first fight between Evander Holyfield and John Ruiz. I televised that for Don King Productions, myself and Colonel Bob Sheridan, the Hall of Famer. And I thought there was a bit of some acting put on by Johnny Ruiz there. And the best of luck to Johnny Ruiz as far as his entire life is concerned. But he was a guy that was an overachiever, without a doubt. He was an overachiever. And you know that madman in the corner there, Norman Stone? Give him some props, because I think without Norman Stone, Johnny would have never made it to the points that he did. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA, of course. Tonight on television, one of the Charlo brothers, 154-pound Charlo, the better of the two, supposedly, Jermell Charlo. He'll be doing his thing, of course, against Brian Castano. There's a 154-pound unification match. This will be on Showtime. Although the lesser of the two Charlo brothers, as far as talent's concerned in the minds of boxing pundits, is a 2-point set, almost a 3-to-1 favorite. Our boxing PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer, calls Castano a live underdog, no doubt about that. Now, speaking of live underdogs, Manny Pacquiao's the livest underdog going. Everybody's talking about Manny Pacquiao and Errol Spence. Was Keith Thurman a better fighter than Errol Spence?
Wow, I think style matchup wise, probably I thought Thurman, if boxing was his priority, would have been, you know, a guy obviously with a big right hand and what's the kryptonite against the lefty, the right hand. It was a little bit better on his toes, so I think he has more game, more talent, you know, than Errol Spence. And like I said, with Errol Spence, I still am not sold. Like, you can't tell me the one fight that he's gone in and you say, you know what? I didn't expect that from Errol Spence. You know, all his big wins, quote unquote, have been fights that you kind of expected him to win. I mean, Sean Porter is probably the toughest fight that he's had, you know, but just nitpicking through his career, Kell Brooks, we know he fought a refurbished Kell Brooks. Algieri, a really 140 pounder. And Danny Garcia, you know he's not there to win. And Mikey Garcia, he carried him for 12. So, you know, tell me the one moment that you said, you know what, Errol Spence, you know, really impressed me. You know, I mean, Errol Spence got a lot of fame for giving Floyd Mayweather a black eye as far. That's where his, you know, props came from. And, of course, he had a really good amateur career. But I think he's a little overrated.
Speaking of the 154-pound Charlo, Jermell, he said he wants to fight Danny Garcia next. I couldn't believe it. I said, who do you want to fight next at a pre-fight press conference this week? He said, after I get done with this guy, I want to take on only the best. I want to take on Danny Garcia, a guy that was probably a 135-pounder that fought at 140 pounds, and that was his peak without a doubt. Now they wanted to fight at 154, but that's typical Charlo. You know, last week I asked trainer Eddie Croft, primetime Eddie Croft of B Street Boxing and bstreetboxing.com down there in San Mateo, California, are the Charlo brothers stars? And he sort of hemmed and hawed about that. He says stars, but not big stars. What will it take for the Charlo brothers to break out from their Showtime hindrance? I mean, they're being held back, obviously, by somebody, and somebody doesn't want them to fight. I mean, Jamal, knows somebody doesn't want him to fight Canelo Alvarez, because if that fight would have happened, they could have made like 15 times more than he ever dreamed of.
Yeah. You know what? I think that's an honest assessment. You know, they are stars, but they're not superstars. they both have had, you know, some real, like, okay, nice moments. When Jermell starched Erickson Lubin, that was an old snap moment. And then the other brother who stopped J-Rock Williams, you know, so they've had their moments. And there are big fights for them to make. Benavidez, even outside of Canelo. You know, a fight with Benavidez, and if the other brother, Jermell, is able to dominate him, then I think they kind of cross over into that close to being a superstar level. You know, obviously, you know, you still would need, you know, a big fight against Canelo Alvarez to put you in a different stratosphere, but I think they would be looked upon with a little bit more respect. I think they're very comfortable making good paydays, and no knock to them. If they've made a nice career with very low risk, you know, so they're both talented young guys, but tonight you're seeing Jermell's 31, you know, how many times, you know, how many more times does he have in him? You know, sometimes you get old overnight, and at the end of the day, you know, you look back at your career and say, you know, what could have been with the Charlo brothers?
Interesting. Boxing's PhD, of course, comes to us from the Bronx. We're talking about Mr. Socrates Palmer Jr. He's featured Saturdays on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course, brought to you in part by the WBC, the World Boxing Council. You can check out their website at WBCBoxing.com. Looks like Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, the third time, they are going to go. This time it's going to be October 9th at the T-Mobile Arena. And surprisingly, people are getting vaccinated for this, so I guess it's going to happen. What is this? I mean, just another delay in this fight. All it does is delay the eventual fight they want to put together between Joshua and Deontay in the winner of this fight. They think it will be Tyson Fury. But that's the fight they want to put together. So are they holding their breath on this one? I mean, because Deontay Wilder's got a hell of a right hand. He's got limitations, but he can punch.
Right. He's a one-trick pony, but that's a really impressive trick. I'm really down on Tyson Fury, you know, for this. I just can't. I mean, obviously, you can't control getting sick, you know, to an extent, you know. And there's also questions that were not, you know, was it legitimate, the sickness? Because he was seen the next day out in public at a casino doing some sort of promotion. And then there was a story that came out that he didn't test positive, the false positive. And then I think he wants to go to England for the birth of his baby. It's just not a good look, you know, and I gotta be fair. I gotta be objective. I try to be objective, you know, when you have me on the air, Pedro, you know, Deontay Wilder, who I got on for dropping all these excuses after getting annihilated the first time, you know, I'm down on Tyson Fury and for doing that, you know, for just putting himself in that situation, you know, was he legitimately sick? He hasn't come out and given any public interviews, you know, so I think, there's a 50-50 on people questioning the legitimacy of was he really sick, or is just a way of getting out of a fight. There's also a rumor that he was hurt in sparring against Jared Allen. The prospect. Anderson,
Woods,
from Ohio.
Anderson, okay, yeah.
Yeah. You know, so he has opened himself up to some criticism, and Deontay Wilder, he's got a legitimate right to be upset, you know? I mean, it's a bad look, and I think Tyson Fury owes the boxing public an apology.
I
don't want to get into it. Am I too high on the soapbox?
No, not at all. I think that Tyson Fury's, you know, has always been the sort of guy that's been able to, how can I say this, sort of do things that were not so kosher and get away with it. I mean, you know, anybody else been a dope fiend and we talked about suicide, that kind of good stuff, we'd be looking at him in a little bit more of a negative light. I think he got a pass on a lot of stuff, and he's probably going to try to get a pass on this one. But I write, you probably need to look down him on this one. Of course, Tyson Fury undefeated, the world linear champion. Of course, that one draw to Deontay Wilder, of course, scored in the rematch with Deontay Wilder. Anyway, Sock, I want to wish you the best. Have a good weekend with you and the family, man. This has been a crazy day.
Pedro, stay safe. Love you. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Enjoy your Venmo lunch. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check out your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Brought to you by the WBC. More of Ring Talk after the break.